Okay, so continuing our path towards freedom. Over the last few days, we've been exploring the first and second establishments of mindfulness, mindfulness of the body and mindfulness of feeling tone or Vedana. And then a couple of nights ago, I spoke about the third establishment of mindfulness, which is the mind itself. And I spoke in terms of befriending the mind. And in the sequence of how these four establishments of mindfulness are laid out, we start with experiences that are more tangible and concrete, such as the body and physical sensations. And then with Vedana or feeling tone, mindfulness needs to get a bit more refined so we can recognize just that basic hit of pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And feeling tone or Vedana is interesting because it's not purely physical or purely mental. It has aspects of both. So in some ways it's kind of a bridge between the first establishment, the body, and the third, the mind. And as I've been emphasizing, Vedana plays a very significant role in influencing most, if not all, of our mental activity, which in turn affects how we speak and act in the world, and even who we take ourselves to be. So this morning I want to begin exploring the third establishment of mindfulness, mindfulness of the mind, in a bit more detail. And here in this third establishment we're invited to open up the field of our awareness to look very directly at our mental activity, to pay attention to our thoughts, emotions, moods, mind states. So the other night I gave you some definitions of these different categories, but I just wanted to emphasize that they're slightly arbitrary distinctions, and it's not to get lost in intellectual analysis trying to work out whether boredom is an emotion or a mood or a mind state. It's just to be aware that there are different aspects, different processes going on in our minds. And most of us do need some training in this skill of being able to recognize what's happening in the mind and how to articulate that experience to ourselves so that we can get more clarity about it and not identify with it. So this morning in the meditation, we're going to continue the sequence that we started yesterday of gradually opening up the field of awareness from the breath to physical sensations to sounds and then to different aspects of mental activity. And we're going to be paying attention to thoughts, which, as I mentioned the other night, are just the way we normally think of thoughts in English, as words in the mind or mental images or memories, any kind of mental activity that doesn't have much of a bodily or physical aspect to it, which is distinct from emotions, which generally do have a physical aspect. So that's one way I distinguish between thoughts and emotions, that emotions have some kind of bodily component to them. So just again for an example, anger. Anger might start with an irritated thought in the mind, but if we pay attention to the body, we might notice a little bit of a clenching in the jaw or tightening of across the chest or a little bit of heat in the face and so on. And training in learning to recognize what I call the early warning signals of these afflictive states, such as anger, is a very key skill in insight practice. And we might do some more exploration of that later on in the retreat if we have time. So emotions are feelings, they come and go, and they're usually relatively easy to recognize. Whereas moods, on the other hand, as I said the other night, are often a compound of different emotional states, kind of mushed together, and they're more in the background. So they're often harder to see. And they often last a bit longer than simple, single emotions. And then lastly, we have mind states, which includes all the other types of mental activity that can't be classified as thoughts or emotions or moods. So mind states are more about the overall quality of the mind rather than the content of the thoughts or the feelings of the emotions. So mind states includes things like whether the mind is alert or dull, whether it's concentrated or distracted, whether there's interest or disengagement, clarity or confusion, and so on. So when we practice working with thoughts in meditation, we're training in just letting them come and go, not suppressing them on one hand, or denying them, and on the other, not feeding them, not getting involved with them. So the first thing to remember is that thoughts are not the enemy. We're not trying to get rid of thoughts, because thinking is just what the mind naturally does much of the time. The eyes see, the ears hear, the mind thinks. It's just natural. So in Vipassana or insight practice, the reducing of mental activity is a byproduct of the meditation. It's not the main goal, which for most of us is good news, because most of us, most of the time, there is some mental activity going on. So as I said earlier, we're trying to change our relationship to those thoughts rather than trying to suppress or indulge thoughts. So in the Satipatthana Sutta under mindfulness of mind, the sutta begins by asking us to pay attention to relatively simple aspects of the mind and then slowly progresses to become more complicated. So we start by watching thoughts as thoughts, knowing when a thought has arisen, knowing when it's passed away. And then as we get more skilled at that, we can start to notice more complex thoughts and ones that perhaps have an emotional component to them. And so one aspect of thoughts that can make them tricky to pay attention to is that often they do come with some kind of emotion or mood or mind state. And those emotions can be very seductive and suck us into believing them and to identifying with them. So as I've been saying, noticing how we tell ourselves, I'm bored, I'm angry, I'm sad, I'm lonely, etc. Instead of just simply knowing, sadness has arisen. Sadness is like this. Slight hollowness in the chest. Slumping of the shoulders. Prickling behind the eyes. Few thoughts about my ex-partner. Moment of self-compassion, wave of relief, and so on. So again, it's possible to simply know all of these different states with mindfulness. In some ways, they're similar to weather systems, just passing through the sky of the mind. So just like here at Te Muata, sometimes it's sunny, sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's rainy and windy and stormy and then calm again. And in the same way, we can notice emotions as emotions by using the mental noting technique that we were practicing earlier. So just as we might do with physical sensations, we can notice emotions, seeing if we can simply name them. Restless, frustration, self-judgment, and so on. And again, this is a training and it's a skill. So it's a little bit like as we were training in body literacy the other day, likewise, we're training in emotional literacy. And so in the beginning, we might need to audition a few different words. We might have a vague sense of, oh, there's some kind of emotion, but it's not clear. So you might just try out a few words. Oh, is it, negative? How is it negative? Painful? Sad? Not quite. Lonely? Oh, lonely. Ah, and then it's like the dartboard hits the bullseye. So just being willing to explore and play with that. And know that it is a skill, one that develops, and at first it might feel awkward and clunky, but like any training, as we get used to it, we start to get more fluidity with it. So in this next meditation, we're going to experiment with including thoughts and emotions and moods and mind states directly in our mindfulness, starting with the breath and the sounds and then those different aspects of mental activity. And sometimes people find when they're invited to look at thoughts, the thoughts seem to disappear. It's like they get stage fright. They've been plaguing us for the last 24 hours, and when we're invited to look at them, poof, they all just disappear. That's fine. If you become aware of no thoughts, then you can simply know no thoughts. Likewise with emotions. You might find, on the other hand, sometimes thoughts and emotions suddenly increase when we're invited to pay attention to them, and it becomes impossible to notice one or two. So if you notice that happening, then you can simply name or note torrent or flow or flood or lots or whatever the word might be. So it's just whatever helps you to stay present. So the note can be something like nothing much happening, or blankness, or very subtle calm. It's not about trying to manufacture anything or change your experience, but just try to bring awareness to whatever it is. Okay, so let's give that a go.